The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
And you're very welcome along this Friday afternoon to the Paddy Power Half Hour. Every Friday afternoon, we pick through the carcass of the weekend's Premier League fixtures to try and pick some winners for you. As ever, Enda is calling it from his YouTube studio. Are you actually in your YouTube studio this weekend?
I am indeed, yeah.
No, very doing? Good. Very good. And you've got a brand new light. It looks like, you know, the godlight in The Simpsons is on your face. Well done.
Well, that's what it is. It's the sunny weather we're having out here in Ranelagh. I think it's only specifically located in Ranelagh as well. So, you know, you get what you pay for here.
It's your sunny disposition ever since Neil Lennon's got the sack, I think. Isn't that correct?
I haven't stopped smiling. People have been commenting on how happy I look the last couple of days.
Dancing on a man's grave. I've never been as disgusted by your content in the aftermath of that. I couldn't believe it. After the manager goes, you're supposed to have good grace and say, sure, look, he tried his best. That's
no,
what
you see, it's see, a that's bullshit. That is all bullshit.
No, it's not.
It was the same when Martin O'Neill left the Ireland job. Everyone started forgetting exactly how bad it was. This revisionism.
No.
You have to state the facts. I also give him credit for what he won. It's not as if I was just jumping around. I gave him credit for what he was. And then I went into what this season was and what led to it. You just can't forget what happened.
It's not human. It's not revisionism. It's basic human decency, Enda. That's it. A man has lost his job in a big job that he really wanted, that he tried everything in, and it failed for him. And you're like, yeah, well, I'm still angry. I can't believe you didn't let me finish being angry for another couple of weeks. I had loads more good lines.
That man was paid very well for his job.
That doesn't matter.
He did not do it to the ability needed for it. So
flesh and blood, human beings. This cartoonish aspect of football that we keep forgetting. And at the bottom of it all, Neil Lennon's a Celtic fan, essentially. Like having soldiered on the field and having come back the second time. I think, you know, at the end, you have some good grace and you say, okay, fair enough. Didn't work out. That's a pity. That's it.
I think that's pretty much what I said. Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. Some of it looked to be a bit like anyway. All right. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour every Friday at 1:30. We look ahead to the biggest games of the weekend. Jason Murphy is with us this week. Jason, how are you?
Very good. It's great to see Enda looking so happy. I'll be honest though, it'll be interesting if we come back in 10 years' time. It's probably still very raw for Enda, but if he meets up with Neil Lennon in 10 years' time, like all exes, they'll remember the good times a lot more than the bad.
That's the thing.
That's important, I think. Yeah.
That is the thing. Right. I want to tell everybody about our brand new segment, which is aimed at allowing some of you to reclaim a losing bet stake. It's up and running. It's called Near Miss. It does exactly what it says in the tin. If you've got a single bet or an accumulator with Paddy Power and it's fallen down because of a dodgy VAR decision, because somebody's armpit was offside, or Harry Kane has taken a dive, or Danny Ings knocks one in with his fat arse, then tell us about it. It's all about the Premier League, so any losing bet that almost made it and you're feeling sore about are legitimate entries. Every week, our crack team will select a bunch of winners. Most will get your stake refunded back into your account, but for some lucky punters, we're actually going to pay out losing bets as winners when we feel they have deserved it. So just make sure that you take a screen grab of your losing bet, which includes your bet slip ID, send them in to us either using the hashtag PaddyPowerNearMiss, PP Near Miss, on Twitter, hit us with a DM on Instagram, or send your snap to us on WhatsApp 087-9180-180, and we'll do the rest, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. You can check out all the T's and C's on otbsports.com and stay tuned to OTB Social for more. Did we have a near miss last week, Enda, that maybe we could, you know?
Yeah, well, an example of what we're looking for here is last week where I had a special on the Off the Ball website that was more away wins than home wins. It ended up 4-4. And then if you look back at the results, Leeds are the team that let you down. The first game of the weekend on Friday night with Meslier scoring an OG to give Wolves a 1-0 win. So that's an example of a near miss. Another near miss that I almost had this season was the Adamola Lookman's penalty kick against West Ham a couple of months ago. And in the last minute, level the game, he goes for the Panenka and he hits the crossbar and puts it over the bar.
I would absolutely not say that's a near miss. I would say that's him just being a complete douchebag. And so as a result...
Yeah, but that example, those kind of things where someone should have really just...
Okay, maybe
just buried that penalty.
Maybe you're going to be nice. I shouldn't be on this committee. I'm like, no. Just because he's being a clown, you're not getting your money back. I'm sorry, no chance of that. Have you got any good near misses stories for us, Jason?
No, like we're welcome. Like any losing bet, you can make a case for. You know, Brighton there Monday night, there could have been a lot of accas spoiled by that. Given how Brighton performs, you'd feel very unlucky not to for that leg to click. And like we flagged as well, we paid out on the Ederson when he comes up to the halfway line, and just because Rodrigo shouts loudest in training during the week, he gets to take it. And when you've seen how bad the penalty was that Rodrigo took too, it was very, very harsh that Ederson actually didn't get a chance to take that one. So we wouldn't rule out any bets. All bets that lose, you can send in, and then we'll apply to see which is the fairest, which is the unluckiest, and we'll look to sort customers out.
Okay. We do have a poll running this week, Enda.
Yeah, so the aforementioned Neil Lennon has resigned from his job at Celtic boss, and we asked our Twitter viewers who should be the next manager. So I think the options we gave were Roy Keane, Eddie Howe, Rafa Benitez, and then others. There's a few comments underneath with Arsene Wenger, Frank Lampard, and somebody put Mick McCarthy, who's doing an unbelievable job with Cardiff City at the minute.
You'd love Big Mick, wouldn't you, Enda? That'd be perfect.
Yeah, absolutely would not. Yeah, absolutely would
not. It'd be great. What are you talking about? Celtic's about the right level for him.
Look, here's the thing, right? Celtic have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity now where they can go two ways. They can go with the tried and tested, the big money signing like Rafa Benitez, or say Mick McCarthy. One of these men who are being linked to the job.
They're not the same. They're not the same.
No, they're not the same.
They're not the same. One of them has won a European Cup and Europa League.
Okay. Two bad examples I used there. Rafa Benitez and, say, Frank Lampard, who has also been linked to the
job. Not the same.
Rafa Benitez. They're going to cost a lot of money. Right. Are they going to be successful? Probably not.
Rafa Benitez will 100% be successful. This is just snobbishness on your part as a Celtic fan. I don't want Rafa Benitez. Oh, no. Look at the list of clubs that he's managed. How can I possibly be expected to tolerate a former Liverpool manager, a former Chelsea manager, former Real Madrid manager, one of the best managers? I don't want him. He doesn't play good football.
I don't want him. Celtic have an opportunity to build something, because one of the problems I have with Celtic over the last 10 years is the short-term thinking. And Rafa Benitez will be short-term thinking. Would Rafa be successful? Absolutely. Rafa would come up to the Scottish League and he would win the league title. No doubt about it. But Celtic could hire Joe Jobs, who would come up and do the exact same thing with the wage budget and the players that they have.
Why would you go for
somebody who's going to get you domestic success over a two-year period and then a collapse again? You need to go for someone with a long-term plan, a long-term strategy, who's going to get Celtic battling it back in Europe. Celtic haven't won a knockout European tie since 2005.
I mean,
they need to start fighting in there again. That's where they need to be.
I'm not sure their wage bill is going to allow them to start winning knockout ties in Europe. But maybe in the Europa League.
This is what I want. There are clubs who are the same model as Celtic are looking to do, the developing players, selling them on for profit in Europe, who are doing the exact same thing much better than Celtic and competing in Europe. Club Bruges is one example. And then if you're looking at a team that's playing much higher than their wage budget at the minute, Brentford in the Championship, obviously it's not European football, but those type of clubs who have an actual identity and plan in place for a 6-7 year strategy, as opposed to getting Rafa Benitez.
Don't you have a whole separate podcast to get into this? And don't you actually have a Celtic podcast that would? I can't believe I've been suckered into wasting the first 8 minutes of the show. Okay, so tell me who's going to give me quickly yours.
Right, I'll give you an outside bet, because he's currently moving up the way in the odds at the minute, and that's Enzo Maresca. He's the under-23 boss for Man City. He is being linked with the job, but he's currently still at, like, I think it's 8-1 at the minute. Man City are heavily linked with Celtic at the minute. They've had multiple players go up on loan over the last couple of years. And Fergal Harkin, their loan guru, he has been linked with the director of football role at Celtic as well. So if Dominic Mackay has him in mind for the director of football role, then I would not be surprised if he was bringing his under-23s manager as well with him to the club as manager. So Enzo Maresca is my pick as someone who could be an outside bet.
Okay, all right. It does look like Steve Clarke is more than likely going to get the gig, though, right? That's essentially what's going to happen in the summer after the Euros are over.
I hope not.
Okay. Never Happy Enda is... that's the start of the show today. If you want to get in touch, 0879 180 180. Let's run you through the Premier League fixtures. We'll get into these. Man City against West Ham kicks off at 12:30. Tomorrow it's West Brom and Brighton at 3, Leeds and Villa at 5:30, Newcastle and Wolves at 8:00. Not a bad slate of games. Palace versus Fulham is 12 noon on Sunday, alongside Leicester against Arsenal, also 12 noon. Spurs and Burnley at 2:00. Chelsea versus Man United at 4:30. Sheffield United versus Liverpool at 7:15, and Everton against Southampton on Monday night at 8:00. Live Premier League commentary on Off the Ball and News Talk. Spurs versus Burnley. Nathan Murphy and Brian Kerr on duty for that one, and Stephen Doyle and Damien Delaney on duty for Chelsea against Manchester United, which is undoubtedly the game of the weekend. So, as we've already told you, we had a near miss of our own on our Paddy Power special last week, with more away wins than home wins. It was a draw, tied at 4 apiece. However, you haven't even mentioned this yet. I can't believe it. We're 10 minutes in and you're not lording it over everybody who didn't believe you. What happened?
Well, I had to resist not clipping the 2-minute segment of you telling me that I was wrong about Everton, and that Everton have the lowest XG in the league, and you know they're
fourth.
They're about to collapse, and I rightly pointed out that Everton were going to score 2 or more goals against Liverpool, and they did, and that came off, and I'd say there were some delighted people who were smart enough to listen to me, Jer. They were smart enough to listen to me.
Even a stop clock tells the right time twice a day. Jason, I was very surprised by that. Very, very surprised. Not going to lie.
Yeah, well, obviously Liverpool having issues at the back, and when you have Richarlison and the form that he's in, you have Don McCalver-Lewin to come in as well. It was a decent price. It wasn't expected. Can see the arguments why it was or wasn't a penalty. But like I said, a broken clock is still right twice a day. But in fairness to Enda, he put it out there and he backed it up. And he clicked it.
This week's specials?
4 more draws across the weekend. And a penalty in the Chelsea United game are the two that I'm going with.
What are the odds in 4 or more draws? This must be pretty big, is it?
Yeah, it's a 7-1 shot. It's an interesting one again. And looking at the fixtures this weekend, there's a lot of even matches. There's a couple of right odds on, like Spurs, City, Liverpool, decent odds on. But the rest of the game, they're kind of tight enough that you could easily see a few draws slip in. In terms of draws in the Premier League, if you look at the last 5 seasons, 23% of games end in draws. And if you look at the games this season, it's the exact same. 23% of games are ending in draws. But if you had a backed even stakes on every game this season and just blindly back the way it wins, you would be significantly up on your investment. There's been a switch around in terms of the percentage of away wins versus home wins this season.
Right, that is interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong, but at the start of the season, there was almost no draws. Didn't we have like 1 or 2 draws in the first 4 or 5 match days?
Yeah, I think you're right there. But like we say, over a longer run, this variance starts to even out, and every team plays 38 games, but in terms of a season, you get 380 games, so there's less likely that you're going to see variance over that 380-game period.
Okay, so we're back to regression to the mean. Okay, right, the next Celtic manager, we've already spoken about that, so maybe we don't need to get too much into that, but a penalty in the Chelsea United game, what are the odds on that?
Yeah, so if you go to normal match market, it's 17-10, but we've enhanced it in the off-the-ball specials up to 9-4. If you look at this season compared with last season in terms of Premier League games, you're seeing a penalty 1 in every 4 games last season, but that's actually increased to 1 in every 3 games this season. And if you compare it across the top 5 European leagues, we've seen a similar increase in France and Germany this season, where the explanation why Spain and Italy hasn't increased as much is because it was already running high last year. And the two factors was Spain and Italy, the way they interpreted the VAR rules around penalty decisions, they did it a season earlier. And then there's also possibly that question of whether Spanish and Italian players are in those leagues possibly go down a bit easier than you see in, you know, the English leagues. But we're seeing more penalties this season being given in games 1 in every 3. So that price of 9-4 is actually, there's a bit of value in that for this game this weekend.
Okay, I mean, certainly that used to be the case. I think there's enough diving going on in England now that they can't look down their noses. Right, the Instagram polls, we've been obviously asking you to vote on every Thursday on Instagram. Follow us at Off the Ball on Instagram, and the votes will count until 10 a.m. every morning. So let's start with Manchester City against West Ham. Andy, you've been looking at this one for us.
Yeah, we'll rattle through this because it's an early enough kickoff, and Man City are heavy favourites for this. Obviously, they're an absolutely flying form and continuing that in Europe as well during the week. I think the Instagram poll sort of reflects that as well. Even as good as David Moyes is doing with West Ham at the minute, not many people giving than much hope this weekend against Man City. And I do think this is an easy one to write off as something that not to put it into your accumulator. It's an early kickoff. Man City are heavy favourites. And I think if you want to have a bet on this, I'd probably go with both teams to score in this. West Ham have, if you look at the form of both teams, about a 25% chance of not scoring this weekend against Man City if you base it up across the whole season. So I think both teams will score in this game, but I do think Man City will win it fairly handily.
Okay. Jason, what do you make of those maths?
Yeah, I'd agree with it. We've Man City at 1-5, the draw 11-2, and West Ham 11-1 to actually win in 90 minutes. Normally, you'd say coming off the back of a European Cup game that maybe there's a bit of fatigue that might creep in. But if you look at Man City starting 11 the other night and the potential starting 11 they could put out against West Ham, they could make 8 changes, and 5 of those changes that they could make, you could have De Bruyne, Aguero, Fernandinho, John Stones. These quality players coming in that are fresh that didn't start midweek. So even that potential for West Ham to cause a trip up is unlikely to happen here. But the gas thing about this is, if you look at the form table, the last 10 games, these two teams are top of the table. Like, it's essentially a top of the table clash for the last 10 games, and you still have Man City going off at 1-5. And that price to me looks right. So you don't always have to have a bet. It is the early kickoff, and there's nothing at those prices I'd particularly be sweet on.
Okay, it should be a really good game. West Ham have been great to watch. The renaissance of their manager has been one of the big stories of the season. A good point in one of the papers today. They actually lost their first two games of the season, and what would the atmosphere have been like? Would they have been able to recover if the fans had been there? I'm not sure about that. Let's move on. West Brom against Brighton. Not too much to say about this. Slaven Bilic is the last manager to get a point against Manchester City. Big Sam going down for the first time ever. I'm struggling for things to say. This is one of those weekends that brings the purgatory of supporting a bad team for West Brom fans into full view. You're like, this team we're playing against aren't very good, and yet, actually, they're way better than us. Brighton remind me of that guy with the massive scimitar swords in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know? Look at us, we're dancing around in front of you, and then, thanks very much, you're dead. When they come up against a good team, that is.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen this week. I think it's going to be nil all. Is there a market where there's no shots on target? Because if there was, I might be backing that this week.
Yeah, shots on target markets are very popular this week. I haven't got a price to hand, but if you have a look, we do have team shots on targets. We have match shots on target. But for me, I think Brighton, actually, this is one of the games where they should be able to match their XG. West Brom, 55 goals conceded this season. That's 2.2 goals per game. And if you compare that across the top five leagues in Europe, that's the worst defensive performance of any team going this season. So Brighton are going to have them camped in their box. And particularly why I think Brighton will win this game, where you will see goals. West Brom, they've drawn their last two games at home, celebrated the draw against United, which is fair enough. It was a great result. But if you look at their position in the table, they need wins. So if this is a draw or 0-0 with 15 minutes to go, West Brom need to come out and try and do something, and that increases the potential for Brighton to actually maybe nick a goal later on.
Okay, let's move on. Leeds versus Villa next.
Yeah, Leeds are a team, Jared, that either we have a lot of Leeds fans following our Instagram account, or people think they're much better than they actually are. They're right slap bang in the middle of the table right now, and I don't think that the game this weekend reflects how favourable people think Leeds are in this game. I think that Aston Villa's form away from home, they've won... they have 20 points away from home. They've only got 16 points at home. So they're actually better away from home this season than one of those sides that have been winning away more often than winning at home. So Leeds, again, they're better away than they are at home. And they haven't really adjusted to the new pitch at Elland Road yet. So I think this will be one that Aston Villa win. This is definitely a game to watch, though, if you're picking out games from the weekend, because both teams really attack and both teams really open. So I think probably over 2.5 goals and Aston Villa to win might be something to look at here.
I think Villa without Jack Grealish are going to struggle for the rest of the season. And also, I do think that there's going to be an impact on COVID. I keep saying it. But anyway, what's the market saying here?
Yeah, we've Leeds 23-20, the draw 5-2, and Aston Villa 21-10. And when Grealish wasn't announced in the starting lineup last week against Leicester, or when people noticed him being taken out of fantasy teams, we actually seen a price move in this match with Leeds shortening from 11-8 into 11-10. And that really demonstrates the importance that Grealish is. So everyone knows it, every football fan knows it, but just to try and quantify it a bit, that's what it does to the prices. But for me, I'd actually be quite sweet on Leeds this weekend at the price of 23-20. If you look at the last meeting between the sides, the outshot Aston Villa 22-9, completely dominated them in the game. It was a 3-0 win, and the fact that Villa will be weaker for this means that Leeds look a great bet. One thing that I wouldn't back is the draw, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go in favour of the special at the top of the show. But Leeds haven't drawn any of their last 17 games, and Villa have only drawn one of their last 10 competitive games. So I expect it to be, you know, lads throwing punches here at each other in terms of a knockout battle and see who's standing at the end of it. But I think Leeds at that price is the better bet.
All right, should be a game to watch. All right, Newcastle against Wolves at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. Look, Newcastle, Steve Bruce, 24%. Nuno, 76%, according to our Instagram poll. I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, I was like, look, I think Steve Bruce is going to be the next manager to go. They got a result that weekend, but they've been bad since. He's down from 8-1 to 4-1. I still think that's the value in the next manager sack race. We had Martin Lipton on OTBAM during the week, and he was making the point that getting rid of Jose Mourinho could cost anything up to 30 million. Spurs don't have 30 million because they don't have the matchday crowd, which is 6 million a game is what they're going to get in their new stadium when they can finally open that to fans properly. So he's not going to go. No manager to leave at 7-2. Surely somebody's going to pull the trigger. And then Steve Bruce is now 4-1. And I've got to say, of all the things to talk about ahead of this game, for me, that's the most interesting, because I think Wolves are going to win this 1-0, or it's going to be 0-0, Jason.
Yeah, the last four meetings between the sides have actually been one-all draws, and it's a really interesting angle on Steve Bruce, but I just can't see Mike Ashley spending the money to get rid of him, no matter what happens between now and the end of the season. And the no manager to leave is possibly a runner, given the financial situation a lot of clubs are in around COVID, that they might just wait until the summer to do that business that needs to be done. In terms of a bet for this game, we've Newcastle 9-4, the draw 2-1, and Wolves 13-10. What I would suggest is we do have a Paddy Power enhanced treble on Saturday, which is Leeds, Wolves and Brentford all to win. So really sweet on Leeds. I fancy Brentford to beat Stoke at home. They're 4-5 to do that. And then Wolves would be last game of the treble. So you could have a nice bet. It's enhanced to 10-1 running onto this game if you want to have a look at. But the best stat I've seen all week was Ruben Neves when he scored the goal penalty against Southampton. It means that the nationality of most goals scored in the Premier League for Wolves is Portuguese players over English players. They've actually overtaken them by 47 goals to 46, which tells that story of Wolves, particularly since they came back up from the Championship.
They should change the home jersey to the Portuguese jersey and just get it done.
The away jersey is the Portuguese jersey. It is literally a Portuguese jersey.
Just make the home jersey. That's my point. Make the home jersey. What's the point? Like, you're pretending with the away jersey. It's like, nah. This is reverse colonization. It's revenge for something or other. Crystal Palace against Fulham, Enda.
Yeah, Crystal Palace are back on form here after a shaking off period. Listen to these stats against Brighton. Brighton had 25 shots, 75% possession, 715 passes to 250. And Crystal Palace came out on top with a last-minute Benteke volley, which is an absolutely exceptional goal. So that's the type of games you're getting with Crystal Palace. They're not going to excite you. And there's a 12 o'clock kickoff also on Sunday that is Leicester against Arsenal. So this is not the game to watch Sunday morning. But I do think this is going to be a very dull relegation six-pointer style game. Fulham, for all their leakiness at the back, are not an exciting team to watch. They are improving, but I do think they have been failing to win games. They've been drawing a lot of games these days. So I think this is another draw written all over it.
Okay. What are the prices on this?
Yeah, we've Crystal Palace 12-5, the draw 21-10, and Fulham 6-5. And like I said, if you're having a bet, you want to get a run for your money. And that's special at the top of the show. You could have that back four draws or more and have an interest in this game without having to have an additional bet. But if you are going to have a specific bet for the game, you could just back it as a single for the draw, because I think it's really likely to happen in this match, particularly when you look at Fulham's record. They lost to Crystal Palace at Craven Cottage. Palace won the game 2-1. The following week, they bet West Brom 2-0, and that was the debut that Anderson came in, they brought him in from Lyon. And since he's come into that defence, they've played 19 games since, conceding only 18 goals. That's the third best defensive record in the league in that period. The issue that Fulham have is just not scoring. They've drawn 9 of those games and the 16th worst attack in terms of goals scored in that period. So the draw is a real runner here, and Palace would be quite happy to take a point, especially after the win during the week. Roy Hodgson, very happy they're getting that point total. That'll keep them up. So the draw is really a runner here at 21-10.
Okay, moving on. Leicester against Arsenal also kicking off at 12 o'clock. 81% think it is a Leicester victory. Just 19% think it's Arsenal. Have there been some signs of a bit of life around Arsenal over the last couple of weeks? It's just hard to believe that actually they've settled down into some kind of rhythm. On the other hand, Leicester, clearly manager of the year material going on here. Like, he doesn't have the billion euros that Pep Guardiola has spent, and sure, Guardiola probably will end up getting manager of the year, but at the moment, you'd have to say the job that Leicester City are doing, absolutely astonishing. Everybody must be proud of the work, right, Enda? He's such a good man.
It's amazing what you do when you get the right team in charge, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you must be sickened.
Of course I have, Jesus. But, that brings you back to the point about Brendan Rodgers, though. I mean, he was the person that Celtic had in place for the next 5, 6, 7 years to build on that success, and he had the smarts to do it, but he had other ambitions, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's fairly natural when you can take a team like Leicester to second, and that means next time any of those big gigs come up, he will absolutely be in the box seat for them. I would make Leicester favourites to win this game, and I think they're going to do it. Am I stupid,
yeah,
Jason?
No, that's what the market thinks as well. With Leicester, they're 29-20 at the moment. The draw 9-4 and Arsenal 7-4. Arsenal obviously have to travel back after Europa League Thursday night last night. Great win for them, so they'll probably be mentally in a better place. Disappointing result for Leicester on Thursday night, but factoring everything in, I'd be happier to be on Leicester at that price. But the best bet I'd give for this game, providing he starts, wait for team news, he did play the 90 minutes last night, but Jamie Vardy to score any time against Arsenal. He scored 4 goals in his last 3 games against them. He's actually, in terms of Premier League clubs, he scored... Arsenal is the team he scored the most goals against, 11 goals in 12 appearances. So even recently, 4 goals in 3 games against Arsenal, he still knows there's still something in that Arsenal team he knows how to get in behind. So we've actually enhanced it and put it in the off the ball special. So 6-4, Vardy to score any time against Arsenal.
Okay, and he always does. And imagine if Arsenal had signed Jamie Vardy. I mean, how different life would have been just as a tone setter for them. Right, let's horse through Spurs against Burnley. Not a whole heap to say about this end, except that maybe Gareth Bale starts. Maybe Gareth Bale scores. Maybe this is the start of some kind, or else it's the end of the road for Mourinho. What do you think?
Maybe anybody scores is my question in this game. Tottenham have been absolutely dreadful over the last couple of weeks, as have Burnley. No wins from their last 5. Tottenham only 2 wins from the last 5. Burnley have only scored 2 goals in total in the last couple of games as well. So this is looking like a game that's going to have Mourinho's DNA boring all over it, and not many goals at all. If Gareth Bale scores, then that'll be interesting. If the one man, or even Dele Alli, who scored during the weekend or during the week during in the Europa League, if he leads the revival of Tottenham in the midfield, it will be quite the story about Jose Mourinho's man management once again.
Yeah, not going to happen. But sure, look, Spurs against Burnley. I don't know how you begin to make a market where both teams are actually just crashing at the moment.
Yeah, well, Spurs, obviously the big name, the big players, you know, Kane and Son didn't play midweek. So Spurs 1-2 to win this, 3-1 to draw, and 11-2 Burnley. Always want to give punters all the information so that they can make an informed decision on what bet they want to place during the game. I can tell you what is the value bet, but I'll also tell you that it's not a favourite bet of mine, and that is Tottenham to win 2-0. The reason I don't like it is that the bet does not click until full time. And even if Tottenham are completely dominant and win 5-0 like they did in this fixture last year, there's always a chance Burnley could nick one at the end. But I don't expect Burnley to do so. If you look at them against West Brom last weekend, they played a West Brom team that was down to 10 men for over an hour, and Burnley still only managed 5 shots in the whole game. Plus, Wood and Barnes are major doubts for this game. So particularly if they're not back, Tottenham to win 2-0 at 13-8 would be the value bet for this game.
Okay. Chelsea against Manchester United at 4:30. Chelsea 46%, Manchester United 54%. I don't know what to think about this. What does the money say about this? Because I think that's the bit of information that I would like. I like what Tuchel has done. Manchester United are so capable of winning a game like this, like blowing up and scoring 3 goals really quickly, or they're also capable of just putting in one of those dud performances where they... Solskjaer gets in his own head and picks a team that he's not actually confident in, plays too many defensive midfielders, and all of a sudden it's a sterile nil-all. What does the money say?
Yeah, Chelsea 6-5, the draw 9-4, and United 9-4. And I'd say that's fairly lopsided poll that we're reporting on there, with a lot of United fans probably clicking on that. Yeah, I think the prices are right, and I think the draw is the best runner here. Solskjaer did get one over on Tuchel in Paris already earlier in the season, and fully expect United to go 4-2-3-1 again for this game. Hopefully they don't try and match up and go with 3 at the back. The last time they went with 3 at the back was against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final last season, and they got absolutely battered off the back of it. So United to go 4-2-3-1. Tuchel's Chelsea to dominate a lot of the possession, but if you think with 15 minutes to go, Ollie's still talking about chasing down Man City, but he knows that at 15 minutes to go, if this is still a draw,
happy days.
A point is a great result for United. It keeps the gap in the top four. So particularly for Enda's bet at the top of the show, this is one of these where we expect the draw to click.
Yeah. Okay, Enda, quickly, if you have anything on this?
Yeah, no, yeah, I'd agree with most of what Jason is saying. I watched Chelsea against Southampton last week, and Southampton sort of show you a DNA, a way of playing against this Chelsea side, and that is just sit in and wait for them to be lax at the back. And that's what Southampton took a couple of passes out from the back and then one key pass through the middle to take apart this Chelsea side in defence. So Man United can certainly do that with the players that they have. So if they don't, I expect N'Golo Kante not to start in this game as well, so that'll give Bruno Fernandes a little bit more freedom.
Okay.
So I think United are probably favourites for this, if I was to pick a favourite.
Okay, Sheffield United against Liverpool kicks off at 7:15 on Sunday evening. You correctly predicted last week what was going to happen to Liverpool. The Liverpool fans think they're going to get back on track. 77% of them think that they are going to win this game, Enda.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't, Jer. I mean, where they're playing against the bottom side of the table. But one very interesting part of this is that if you look at the, I know a lot of people aren't fans of the XG model, but if you look at the expected goals conceded, Liverpool are level with Sheffield in this game. 1.5 goals over the last, I think it's over the last 10 games that they're expected to concede. So that is how bad their defence has been over the last 10 games. And maybe that gives you a little bit of confidence that Sheffield United might nick a goal in this, but I think Liverpool are rightly favourites going into this game, and they probably should get back to winning ways.
Okay. Everton against Southampton. Sorry, Jason, give us the prices for that. Sorry. Sheffield United against
Liverpool. Yeah, Sheffield United 13-2, draw 4-1, Liverpool 4-11, and it's a short price, but there is value in that 4-11 still in Liverpool, because despite their defensive issues, who are they up against? Sheffield United, who struggle massively to score goals. So despite defensive issues, Henderson out now until April by all accounts. Fully expect Liverpool to do the damage going forward, and 4-11, there's still a bit of value in that.
Okay, Everton against Southampton on Monday at 8 o'clock. Everton obviously beat Liverpool last week, and 81% say Toffees, 19% say Saints. I still think the logic around the match preview last week in terms of the underlying trends with Everton was sound, and yet, obviously, only do it on the pitch. The XG isn't actually... Right, I still think the other side of this is Southampton, no good at the moment, despite the fact that they played well against Chelsea last week, hammered by Leeds during the week. I ain't spending anybody's money on Southampton at the moment, so I think Everton will squeak this, but I don't think Everton are as good as they're showing at the moment, and I think over the course of the rest of the season, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they were to fall away. What's the crack, Jason?
Yeah, Everton 11-10, the draw 23-10, and Southampton 12-5, and I think narrative is playing a lot into these prices, the hot hand fallacy if a team goes on a bad run or a good run and people overreact to them. If you look at Everton's last seven games, they've actually only won two, drawn two and lost three. So like, you're seeing them coming through in a cup game against Spurs, you're seeing them winning at Anfield last week albeit an empty Anfield, and I think that's driving the Everton price down a bit too much, and people are against Southampton when they're on a bad run, seven defeats in eight games. But if you look at the 15 games before that, they'd only suffered two defeats. And they had a lot of bad injuries in those eight games and a lot of context in terms of the early red card at Old Trafford. Obviously, United probably still would have won the game, of course. So all things considered here, I can see this Everton price actually going a little bit shorter. And when it does, I'd be looking to oppose Everton. So come Monday night, if you're looking for a bet, you probably want to side with Southampton in the draw in the double chance. And I wouldn't be backing Everton at 11-10 or shorter than that.
All right, Jason, end of good stuff. That's this week's Paddy Power Half Hour in the books. Remember, you can enter our near miss competition. Just use the hashtag PP near miss, or you can, of course, WhatsApp us 0879 180 180. We'll see you next Friday afternoon at 1:30. Take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.